Welcome to Look to the Moon podcast, bringing together two friends with stories that need sharing. Join us, Jodie and Nicole, as we navigate life after loss, discussing topics around birth, trauma, and baby loss, and providing a safe space for others to share their stories. Hi everyone, welcome to Look to the Moon podcast, episode 12. We've got an exciting one this episode. We're going all the way to the States to interview Erin. I'll have to ask Jodie where she's from because I forgot already.
Northern Vermont.
There we go.
Not far from the Canadian border.
Yeah.
On the East Coast.
So yeah, this is exciting. This is as far as we've gone overseas.
Yeah.
So it was lovely to speak to Erin. If you listen to this episode, we're going to speak to Erin and she'll tell us about a bit about her life with her three children and also talk to us about her two miscarriages and how she overcome those. Mm-hmm. And like us, she actually used talking and podcasting to help with all her emotions.
And a coping.
Mechanism, yeah. So Erin discusses a lot about the feeling of guilt and how she overcome that. So that's quite a big part of this story.
Mm-hmm. We talked about how feelings breed other feelings and a lot of them are guilt related. In finding joy in life after your loss or your trauma, which then makes you feel guilty, which is difficult to overcome. But I found Erin, and so did you, so like really inspiring. She's got this infectious personality. She's so positive.
Positive energy.
She's got this aura about her that's really, really positive, and I really, really enjoyed just sitting down and speaking with her because we actually didn't go into a tremendous amount of detail in terms of her losses. It was more about how she's coped post loss, which gave the whole interview sort of that positive vibe. I found it really, really positive, really uplifting, and it was so nice to connect with somebody that lives in a different country that has a different way of life. And also, even like in terms of like how the medical systems work and maternity leave and how baby groups work and aftercare,
it's so all different,
so
it?
Different, isn't it? Which was
so different, yet so similar. Like, you know, all the feelings and experiences and emotions are all so similar.
Yeah.
Even though we're so far away. But it was nice to
just shows you that you could be feeling those same feelings, but the way you deal with them can be very different depending on the resources at your disposal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it was insightful as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we were talking a lot about like therapy and visiting like your doctor, and it seems like over there it seems like therapy is less of a taboo.
Yeah.
I would say, and it's probably more easily accessible than over here, but maybe medical assistance, so anything that's medical based is probably easier over here to get access to, but from a maybe mental health perspective it's more difficult.
The resources seem to be easier to come by, don't they?
Yeah, so it was definitely interesting speaking to her, and we hope you enjoy listening to Erin's story and feel as uplifted by it as we did.
Yeah, definitely. And listen out for her name of her podcast at the end.
Yeah, so please dial into that. She deals a podcast. Are you all right? Got bones in it.
Yeah.
She's coughing over it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
I'm choking.
Oh, dear. Turn your mic off, love.
We're sharing the same one.
Oh, yeah, we are, actually. We can't share it, yeah.
Sorry about that. Right.
You're all right.
I'm still there, yeah.
Take a swig.
It will make me cough more.
But yeah, no, you need to check out her podcast. It's called the Dear Mama Unscripted podcast, and I think it's available on all your usual podcast platforms, just like we are. Blah, 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 just like we are. So check it out, listen to the interview, and we hope you enjoy. Hi, Erin.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It is really exciting to have you. But even more exciting is that you are coming from the States, and it's our first international interview.
Woohoo! Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so excited too, because you're, I believe, the first one for me to, as well. So thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
So we're in the very, very cold UK. And you pour Northern VT on your ale, which I googled, because my level of knowledge of the States is quite good, but I was like, VT, just I need to Google this. It's Vermont, right?
Yes, it's Vermont.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
On the East Coast. So what's the weather like there at the moment? Because we're very cold.
Okay, so today it is warm out. It's about 22, 23 degrees. Last week it was negative 20 at night, and it got up to about, so it's, we're Fahrenheit, but it got up to, I think the high was about 10, but the wind was blowing, so it felt like it was like negative one.
Yeah, gosh.
Wow.
Oh, we're not that bad. I think the lowest we got, because we're in degrees, we were about -6.
Yeah.
-6.
-6 early morning.
Okay. Or late at night. But
okay.
But yeah, that, I suppose we've covered the weather then.
Yeah,
we have a lot of snow. We have giant snowbanks. We're having an old-fashioned, we said, Vermont winter, where it's snowing, and then we have giant snowbanks, and it's just, if you're going to be outside, if it's going to be cold, then we would rather have snow. So it's been warm today, and we've been outside, there was sunshine, it's beautiful with the snow, so I can't complain.
Sounds lovely.
We can.
Yeah.
We
do have rubbish weather.
I don't think we had a summer last year, did we?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe about a week.
I think we had about a week of sunshine, and then it was...
Oh, no. You need to get those lights, the special lights.
So we connected over Facebook. So I did a little bit of promotion on Facebook, sort of a bit of a call out that, you know, that this is our new podcast, and we cover topics around birth trauma, baby loss, and triggers around pregnancy and fertility. So we cover the entire spectrum, really. And I think you're our third interview. And everybody's got a unique story. Everyone's got a different experience to share. And when you reached out, it was, like I say, it was really lovely that you wanted to share your story and connect with us. And I know it's taken a while, so apologies. We tried to hook up over Christmas, hook up. Oh, God, No, we tried to connect over Christmas. And then obviously with holiday plans and family obligations, it's been really difficult. But we're finally sitting down.
We did it. Yay.
Yeah,
with the
got
time
a date.
Difference.
Exactly, the time difference.
I know, because you're five hours behind us. At the moment we're recording, it's 20 to 8. So you're at 20 to 3 in the afternoon, so it's definitely nicer weather there at the moment than it is over here. But why don't you start telling us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your family, and then maybe going into some of the experiences that have led us to connect.
Okay, yeah. I grew up in northern Vermont. I'm still here, and before kids, I always forget about this part of my life, I feel like. It was a long time ago, I feel like. I was a physical therapist assistant. I still have my license, but I don't practice. And then all my kiddos, I have three kiddos, they're all 2 years apart. So 8, 6, and almost 4. I homeschool all three of them. And I also have a podcast. I have been very fortunate to be able to co-author in a number one bestseller with Kimberly Olson. And there is a new book coming out that I was able to co-author in as well, that's coming out in the next couple of weeks, with, I think, 20 other amazing women sharing their stories. So that is a little bit about just me. I've been very fortunate to be able to use my story and going through miscarriages to just talk and connect with amazing people like you, because this would have never happened if I had not gone through that. So
yeah. Oh wow. So what book is it that you have that's out already, your number one bestseller? What's that called?
It is Redefining Her with it's female entrepreneurs with Kimberly Olsen. So I was able to I actually went through my first miscarriage in March of 2023. I was trying to remember the dates, and I feel like it was a God thing because I was going through it, and then about a month later, I had this email that was just kind of like, have you ever thought about being a writer? Well, here's your chance to co-author, and you can go ahead and, submit your story, and then we'll pick it, we'll go through it, and we'll see if you are one of the authors. And I have never thought about this before, never even crossed my mind. And for some reason, again, it was like, just do it, just do it, just share your story. And so I said, okay, I'm just going to submit what I went through. And she, the next day, emailed me and was like, we picked your submission. You have to just have the final draft in by this time. And I was like,
So it all snowballed really quickly.
Yeah, so it was very much something that was not even on the radar. I always loved reading and writing. I've always loved that, but I never thought of myself as doing that. So it was very much a healing process, though, for me. I feel like it was placed in my life to help me heal through that because writing about it really helped me have closure, I think, and actually look into my emotions and what I was dealing with and just really how to heal from that because the words were on paper, what I was feeling, what I was going through. And I think that has a profound effect on you as a person in your healing journey. And I never realized that until I went through that. So it was an amazing thing to be able to experience.
And I think that resonates with us because, both myself and Nicole have gone through different types of trauma. I'm coming to this podcast from I had an early miscarriage before I had my daughter.
Oh,
When
so sorry.
thank you. And that was really, really tough. But I got pregnant quite quickly with my daughter, and then we had an extreme amount of trauma when she was born, which is where my story sort of begins. And then Nicole gave birth to your daughter very prematurely.
Yeah, 23 weeks. So I've
Oh, my.
one healthy baby. Well, she's not a baby anymore. She's
She's
nearly
four, nearly, yeah.
four next month. Yeah, and then we had our second daughter. Everything was fine, and yeah, she was born extremely premature at 23 weeks. She survived for 8 days, but
Oh,
unfortunately,
my goodness.
the hospital made a few mistakes, and she really suffered and ended up
Yeah.
dying after 8 days.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I just can't even imagine.
So that's how me and Jodie have been friends for a long, long
A
time.
very long time.
In school, we were friends since school, weren't we? So
Yeah.
we've always been close, but in the most awful way, we've become closer. Yeah, and we used each other to talk because we're both very much talkers. We wanted to listen to each other and help each other, and that's when Jodie was like, "Oh, we should be recording
Yeah,
this and
she was helping other
help
people.
other people."
Yes.
That's just how we are, isn't it?
Yeah,
And that's where it stems from for us, isn't it?
and I think I approached Nicole because it was quite difficult because I had this sort of overwhelming feeling like I now tragically had a story to share. And it's a bit like you. So what you've just said about writing, because you've got something to say and you've got a specific story that you want to share with people to, sort of alleviate that weight that's on your shoulders. I felt exactly the same way after I had my daughter and the trauma that we went through. And I thought, the only person that will probably understand that's in my life is Nicole. But Nicole had gone through such a tragic loss that we never compare on this podcast to people's losses. We never do. But I did realize that, although we went through that trauma, my daughter is now fit and healthy. And Nicole, had lost her daughter. So I didn't know whether to approach her and say, I've got this idea of, talking on a podcast, reconnecting with other women that have gone through similar experiences. Are you up for it?
And I said, there's absolutely no pressure. But like Nicole's just said, we're both talkers and we find comfort in speaking and comfort in telling each other how we feel. So that is why we started this podcast. It was our outlet after what we've been through. So you saying that, you saw that email come through and you'd been through that loss and you then felt a need. It was a need to respond and then,
Look where it's got you
yeah,
to.
and she
Yeah, I know. I was
and
like,
it like everything happens for a reason, as they say, which sometimes I hate that. I hate that.
Hi, me too. I'm like, listen,
Yeah,
just let me have my minute. Let me have my moment. Like, you need
exactly.
to just have that moment of be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
And you need to be okay with that. It's okay to say that. Like, I say that all the time. It's okay to be like, this sucks in this moment. Like,
Absolutely.
I think that too is, well, I had the urge to start the podcast, same as you. I mean, you have amazing stories. To be able to be vulnerable as well, that is something. I feel like being vulnerable is so hard in today's society, especially with social media. And I was very scared. I went public on Facebook with my first miscarriage and with my second, just sharing my story because I felt that tug. But I said to be vulnerable and throw yourself out there and share that part of you because that's not something that you, I, for me, that's very hard. And to be in that, the worst time of your life and share that with someone is very scary. So I commend you both on being so open because you don't find a lot of people that are open like that. And that same with the podcast. When I started mine, I was like, I just feel like other moms need to hear the real behind motherhood, but it is hard and we all have gone through stuff, but also they need to know there's encouragement. They need to know it's okay to say this sucks and it's okay to be in that moment, but also like we're all here for you and we're here to listen and share and then that's what gets you through. So
Definitely. And like you said, that it may be slightly different in the States than it is in the UK, but it's still, it is getting better, but it's, discussions around miscarriage, baby loss, birth trauma, they are a little bit taboo and people don't speak about them. And we find, and we've discussed it before on the podcast, is that people don't discuss it because it makes them feel awkward. So although we might want to speak about it and it makes us feel better, we don't because we don't want to make other people feel bad.
Isn't that wild? You are going through something, but you don't want to make someone else feel uncomfortable.
You felt that a lot. You felt that a lot. And we've had discussions about, people not addressing the fact that you've had another child and that your daughter's got a name and,
And a birthday.
And a birthday and all of these things that people think, well, we understand why, because people don't know whether if they say something,
They're gonna say the wrong
they're
thing.
gonna say the
They're
wrong thing.
gonna upset it,
But I think you've always said it's better to say something than
Yeah,
nothing at all.
yes.
very much like
Yes.
say it and I'll tell you it was the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
But then it will start a conversation.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Because it's such an isolating time in your life when you're going through such a loss or a trauma or whatever you're experiencing at the time. It's so difficult for them and your family and friends to like avoid you like the plague. Like, and I don't know what kind of support systems and groups you have in America, but here there's a support group called SANS, which is for the stillborn and neonatal death. And I go to that. It's a parents group, and I go to that once. I actually went to it on Wednesday just, and that's been like a massive lifeline for me to connect with other parents and families that have gone through loss or baby loss or pregnancy loss. And I still go now, like nearly 2 years down the line. And we were only saying the other night, like, your life changes so much. But your it's what did she say? One of my friends said, like, my baby just died, but I'm still with person. Like, as awful as that sound, my baby just died. That's not what we mean, but that's the only thing that's changed in my life. Yeah, you are like so far gone, and you don't want to talk to me, you don't want to see me. But that, like Jodie says, that's because you feel awkward. Like, and all you need to say is, like,
Not even, I'm sorry,
Just, I'm
pat
here
me,
for you.
yeah, I'm here for
yeah, I'm
you.
here for you. I'll, like,
That's.
we often sit in a room and don't talk to each other, but
Yes.
just knowing that you have someone there, or, you know, a hand to hold or a shoulder to cry on or whatever, but just go for a coffee and for a walk. We used to go for walks around the lake when your baby was a baby. Baby was a baby.
Baby
That's
was a
what she said.
baby. Oh no, she's two next week.
And
No,
we used
oh
to
my
walk around
goodness.
a lake near us and
Yeah.
just either in silence or just chatting about
Or
anything and
cry.
crying. Well, yeah,
Yes.
quite often, didn't we?
Yeah.
But it's just having that acknowledgement that you have gone through whatever that may be at the time, and having people there to support you is massive.
It's hard, I think, when I went through my first one. So I don't know about the rest of the country, but because I live in northern Vermont, it's very rural. So we have to drive to a lot of stuff, 45 minutes away to an hour away. There might possibly be some groups in a couple of towns over, maybe, but I'm not familiar with them. And what struck me as odd was you mentioning, just to have someone be there for you, was that when I left the office for, I went and, they told me I was miscarrying after I'd gone to the hospital and had the ultrasound and all this stuff. And I walked out of there and there was nothing. They didn't give me anything. They didn't. And I think, I don't know, maybe in their minds, they were thinking I would call if I needed something, but there wasn't that support. And I was like, I just went through this. This is my first time. I have no idea how to deal with this. I have three children at home that were, I'm trying to remember, 6, 4, and 2. And I obviously am home alone with them all day long. What if I go crazy? And I say crazy, I don't mean that as any disrespect, but when you're going through something like that, if you don't have someone to support you or have them say, this is how you're going to feel in the next couple of days, this is how
Yeah,
you're
it's
going
not
to feel in the
easy.
next couple of weeks, there was nothing. And I remember my kids got sick. So going through my first one, my kids got sick 2 days later after I was physically going through it. My kids got sick, like fevers, the whole thing. So I was taking care of them while I was going through this. And I said, my body can't even recover. I didn't have any off because I was taking care of them. And my husband was great, but he had to go to work. And so I was home alone with them. And I just remember thinking, I'm sitting on the floor crying my eyes out in front of my kids. And I'm like, Mommy's okay. Like, I'm okay. Like, because they were just looking at me like, what is going on? And it was a really bad day. And I said, there was not that support. But as I had some close friends that just knocked it out of the park that came and just, we all have kids. So they couldn't be there all the time. But they did show up for me. And I said, just same. But the other people, they just didn't know what to say or they wouldn't even address it. And here I am like, I'm gonna bawl my eyes out because someone had a baby. I remember going to a function and someone had a baby. And I was like, oh my gosh. It was probably the hardest thing to just hold it together. But no one said anything about what I had been through. And I think it was because they just felt awkward. They didn't know what to say. And so I try now. I'm like, if you know anybody that's gone through this, just be there. You don't have to say anything, like you said. Just sit with them. Go, just give them a hug. Go to their house and say, I'll watch your kids for an hour. Go for a walk. Like, make them go for a walk and you take care of their kids. You don't have to say anything. You're not going to make it better. You can just be there for them as they work through this. So.
Yeah, definitely.
We found that though, haven't we? There's
Yeah.
nothing that anyone can say,
No.
situation or the
Better or
action. But
worse,
yeah.
I don't think, like, people might say things that you're like, oh, like,
That.
I really shouldn't have said that.
Some
But
people would
yeah, in that
say, oh,
case,
it's good
it
that it was early. And I was like,
oh, gosh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
Is it really good?
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't, and then I don't know how to respond. I remember it being like, I don't know how to respond to that because here I am, I'm going through it. But I think too is until you've gone through it, you don't know how people feel.
Yeah.
And so you don't realize how it sounds to them to say, oh, at least it was not, when you were 7 months pregnant and it's, well, that to me was still a life. I was however many weeks, So maybe next time you shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Like, so just giving them little tips, like this is, that's, let's not say that. Next time, just say, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I'll sit with you. Let me give you a hug.
And we've spoke about it a lot about, actually particular situations and conversations that we've had that are like quite inappropriate, like when, we've discussed both of our stories and we've recalled events where, somebody sensed something really inappropriate. And, I think it's nobody says things out of malicious intent. Never malicious. I think it's people get so bogged down with, I need to say something. And so I'll just say the first thing that I think will be comforting, which actually turns out not to
It's
be.
not.
It's not comforting. No, it's really not. And like, do you mind me asking how far along you were in your first, when you had your first miscarriage, Erin?
The first one, I'm trying to remember. So I was about 9 weeks. I believe I was going on 10 weeks. They had mentioned that the growth had probably stopped at 6 weeks. And because I was supposed to go in for my first ultrasound, because over here they do them around 8 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And so so to be able to hear the heartbeat and check everything. And so I remember it was a Wednesday and my daughter had riding lessons and we were going and I knew something was wrong. And I had called the office and they said, well, give it a couple of days and you can come in on Friday if it's still happening, like if you're still bleeding and stuff. And so I remember just being so paranoid because they said it's probably nothing. And then I went and they said, oh, like there's no heartbeat, there's no nothing. It looks like the growth stopped around 6 weeks. And but I was, my body was at like 9 weeks. And so to me, you're getting excited about hearing the heartbeat and you're getting excited about, all this stuff. And then the second one was about around the same time, 7, 8 weeks. And I went, so my first miscarriage was like March 2023. I got pregnant again. November, it was the end of November of that same year, and then I miscarried at around Christmas. It was over Christmas, Christmas Day, and my grandfather passed away on Christmas Day, so I was miscarrying like Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas Eve, and so I
Oh,
was
Erin.
just like, it was, I mean, for me, I was like, what the heck is going on? Like,
What else can the world throw at me?
yes, it was very, I couldn't believe it. And it was very much because I had been through it before. I knew what was happening. And the hard part was that it was earlier. So I had kind of prepared myself a little bit for maybe that to happen, but I didn't expect it to happen again. And then I just remember walking in because they told me to go to the ER with the second one. And of course, it's the day before Christmas Eve. We had promised my kids we were going to take them to go get Christmas presents for each other. So instead of doing that, I ended up spending 4 hours alone in the ER. Well, my husband drove my kids around the town to the stores. They couldn't get any presents for each other because nobody else was with them because we couldn't separate them. And then I remember getting back in the car 4 hours later and they were all crying because they said, Mommy's tummy hurt so bad we couldn't go get Christmas presents. And I was like, as a mom, you're like, oh my gosh, I just ruined the whole day. And they sent me home and told me everything was fine. And I said, and everything is not fine. And I knew that, but I started to fully miscarry that next day, so Christmas Eve day. And I just said, it was a very, for anybody that's ever been through that, feeling that joy, but also that grief at the same time when they say your heart, it's a weird feeling to explain that you have that joy in your heart for what you have, but yet you're just having this grief for what you've just lost. Because we were watching my kids Christmas Day open Christmas presents and being so happy and so excited for them. But yet 5 minutes later, I'd be like crying in the kitchen because I was, my body is literally physically going through this little life that is lost. And I was like, this is so bizarre to me that I am having this conflicting emotions. And my grandfather was passing away. And I was like, I don't know how to handle this. And it was just the weirdest. I've never ever experienced that in my life, having the grief, but also having the joy and being thankful that I'm watching my three kids open Christmas presents that are healthy, but yet now I'm grieving the loss of another, child within a year. And I was like, oh, it was such an odd thing for me. So, I mean, I feel like you can understand that because of what you've been through. You know, you almost feel guilty for having that joy. And
Yeah.
it's,
We've
yeah.
said that, you know, you've mentioned it quite a lot, especially after the loss of your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, you felt guilty for like smiling and
Yes.
finding joy in your other daughter,
Yeah.
and which, so, you know, that sadness and then that joy breeds other
Yeah.
emotions like guilt and
Yes.
resentment, and it's just a bit of a roller coaster, isn't
Oh,
it?
the emotions that you go through, it's just, you just, like you say, unless you go through it yourself, there's no way of explaining it to other people. Because like Jodie said, after we lost Luna, I still had another daughter at home, and she was only two. So my first daughter's born on the 29th of March, and I delivered my second baby in hospital on the 28th of March.
Oh, wow.
So, like, our mummy was in hospital for her birthday. Luckily, she was at the
Okay.
age to not understand it was
Understand
her
it.
birthday, and we
Right.
kept quiet. But the guilt that I felt for not
Just not
celebrating
being
her
there.
birthday, but then also, like, and then I've got this other tiny little baby in intensive care that has just been born. That was like really difficult. And obviously now we've got two. Both of my daughter's birthdays, one day, one's
They're
really
apart.
sad, and then the next day I've got to be really
Right.
happy because it's my other daughter's birthday. It's quite difficult, and I'm sure you've experienced it yourself if you're having three other children, like finding joy again after you've gone through something that's so awful. I just felt guilty all the time. Like,
Yeah.
I think
I
trying
think
to
the
understand your
guilt
emotions is.
is the guilt because it's something that you have to really wrestle with to get rid of and to work through because it's not like being sad. Like you can be sad and you can cry, but with the guilt, like what do you do with that? You know, you don't have anywhere to place it, really. I mean, it's such a weird thing. I 100% your birthdays being so close. My due date was October 9th. My son's birthday is October 11th, and my daughter's birthday is October 15th. So every year it's like that sadness, but then you have to switch and be like, okay, we're celebrating birthdays. And that the guilt comes with that as well. It's like, I don't know, it's so hard.
It is, yeah.
It does get easier though. I feel like as you allow yourself to feel guilty. I
Oh.
don't know about you guys, but I wrote about it is that I felt guilty for because when I saw the two pink lines both times, my immediate response was not joy. And I said, you feel so guilty for that because it's almost like you willed it into existence. Because I had three kids. You know, like I said, they were four, 6, 4, and 2. And so my first initial thought was like, I'm finally able to start breathing and enjoy my kids because it was so just, you know, if you have kids like 2 years old and under, it was just a
Hard.
lot of
Oh.
trying to keep your head above water. Like it's like, and I just remember thinking like, I can't handle four kids, six and under, and we don't have a big enough car. We don't have a big enough house. Like we And then it was just immediate guilt for feeling that and not joy when, you know, so many women can't get pregnant or so many women have these tragic stories. And then I went through the miscarriage and I think the guilt was the biggest emotion after the sadness because I had to work through that. I was like, you did not will this into existence. You know, obviously I believe in God and I believe that he helped me work through all this. My faith has been a huge thing going through this process, but it was the guilt that I'm like, how am I supposed to deal with this? And then the second time it was again like a little bit of that not feeling joy because I was so scared it was going to happen again. And then when it did happen again, I was like, you know, like I don't understand. Did I do something? And that's not what it is. You're never punished. I don't feel that. But it was working through that guilt of feeling like again, like you know, I wasn't happy again in the beginning because I was so scared and, you know, but I think I have learned to work through that and let go of that. And that was a huge work in progress. So if anybody is listening and you have this intense guilt, I mean, for me, it was a lot of praying, just like take it from me because I can't handle this. I can't, my heart is not meant to deal with this weight, and I can't carry this alone. And so it was just very much trying to give it up that yes, this happened, and yes, with the first one, I was not happy, but we were excited after the first week or two after I had digested it. But it came that immediate guilt of you weren't happy, and this is what you wanted, you know. And it was like it just smacked me in the face. I remember going through it, and I was just like, I've never felt such intense guilt before in my entire life. And so it's working through all of it. You just really have to try to let it go.
And we've said on many occasions that all of the feelings that you feel, regardless of what you've been through, whatever your story is, all of your feelings are valid.
Yes.
And you might think, oh, it's awful to feel that way,
Mm-hmm.
or people judge me for feeling that way.
Yes.
We can guarantee that somebody has felt like that in that situation before. You know, we've spoken about guilt and resentment and even like jealousy and different things like that. Seeing it's like hearing about other people's success stories or like
Seeing someone hold a newborn
your
baby.
baby. And like I've got a friend that's struggling with fertility. She doesn't have any children. She's not able to get pregnant. She's going through IVF, and sometimes I sit there and we speak quite candidly about how we're feeling as well, obviously for very different reasons. And sometimes I sit there and I feel guilt by saying I'm actually struggling with my emotions around the birth of my daughter, but then she's sat there going, struggling with her emotions about not being able to get pregnant. So I feel that guilt because I'm thinking I'm actually in a position that she would love to be in. And but that's very difficult because but she's never ever, she would never resent me for the position that I'm in. And she totally validates the way I feel. And that's what friends do, I suppose. They validate how you're feeling and they don't sort of look at their own story and compare that to, others. But that's what I struggle with is, well, it's even with us, we spoke quite candidly about the fact that, we've gone through very similar situations, but the outcomes have been very, very different. And, Nicole must think sometimes, you've got your child and I don't have mine. But we do try and not let that.
No, we respect each other's
Yes.
experiences and journeys and how each other feels.
Yeah.
And everyone's story is different.
Yeah.
But we share similar feelings.
Feelings, yeah, right, particularly. Like the biggest thing was when we were in intensive care. So both of our babies were in intensive care and like say different outcomes and different reasonings. But us as mothers sat in those intensive care units by our bedsides, the feelings were very similar. So this is why we relate on with certain emotions. It's not necessarily the stories, it's the emotions that have gone along with those stories. And having really good friends and support, people who can support you, I think is the biggest key to getting through those feelings. Because
Definitely.
someone can sit there like with you, Erin, and say, look, that guilt is it's completely normal. And it is normal. And like it's funny because my daughter's second birthday is coming up on the 19th of this month. And for various reasons, we're not actually celebrating her birthday on that day because we're actually all off work, we're all off nursery on the day after her birthday. So it's just logistics. She doesn't know when her birthday is, so it's clear that we're gonna celebrate the day after. But I'm quite glad of those circumstances because I say this knowing that people will judge me, but the day she was born was the worst day of my life.
There is no judgment in that for me. I can tell you
Yeah,
that
and I think I always people say, oh, the day your child's born is like one of the best days of your life, and I always look back on that day and go, actually, it was the worst
now. Not
day.
if it was a terrible experience.
Yeah, it was the worst day of my life, and I always think, well, it's a birthday, you should celebrate, and then I'm like, I don't want to celebrate it. I know that sounds really strange, but I don't, and I've had those feelings in the run up to a birthday that I don't, but then I feel guilty because I'm thinking, and it's her birthday, and we shouldn't make a thing of the fact that her birthday was the day she was born was a really, really sad day, but it's her birthday, and it's so conflicting that I really struggle on the when her birthday's coming up because it just brings back all I
All
just
memories.
really I really relive the memories of when the day's born, and it's really horrible. But then I feel like say I feel that guilt. So as a birthday approaches, those are the feelings that I'm sort of feeling.
And you're validated to feel it, because I think that was the biggest thing too that helped me, was that someone actually so said you're validated to feel that, because I felt like I couldn't say that to anybody, because they just assumed that, it's sadness, it's grief, that sort of thing, but nobody talked about the guilt. And I said that was the hardest thing, and I didn't feel like I could really share that part, because they do judge you, like, why do you feel guilty? And well, because I wasn't happy at first when I saw the two pink lines. Well, it shouldn't that be the most, like you said, that should be the happiest time. And I think people are lying when they say they're not scared at all when you see the two pink lines, because even before, when I was pregnant with my oldest, I was scared out of my mind, because you're literally responsible for a life. And it's like, no, I'm not an adult enough to be responsible for this person. Like, I can't even read macaroni and cheese directions and throw away the blocks. I gotta pick it back out, like reread it to make sure I know how to cook it. But it's like, no one validated that until I think it was my second, re really my second one. I was very honest about the guilt after I realized that that was a lot I was working through. But the first one, I kind of pushed that. I worked through it. And then the second one, I think I kind of pushed my emotions down because I'd been through it before. And it was also, I went through the miscarriage, but then my body didn't go back to normal. Like the other one, my hormones were still up, and they kept having me take blood tests. And they kept saying, your hormones are high, your hormones are high, let's give it another week. So it was 3 weeks later, and I ended up by having a DNC, because they said there, your hormones aren't coming down. There's obviously still something inside of you, so we need to do that. And I had never had surgery before, so that was like freaking me out. But I remember just dealing with all of that. I was almost like, not a trauma, I guess. It was to me in a way, because it was like, what? You're literally having to take a part of someone out of me. I don't, it was just something very hard for me to understand because I'd never been through it. And then I think I just pushed those feelings down, like the guilt and then all of it. And it ended up by, I think it was June. I was like super tired. I was just really grumpy, and I wasn't hungry and everything else. And I remember going to the doctors, and she was like, Erin, you're grieving. She's like, you're not allowing yourself to feel any of your emotions that you are telling everybody else that you need to feel. She knew about my podcast and how I was like, oh, you got to feel your feelings, let it happen. And she goes, you're not doing that yourself. She goes, you're not taking any time at all for yourself. She goes, you need to go every day for a walk, at least 15 minutes by yourself. She goes, you need to start like drinking a lot of water, just very basic human things. And she goes, you'll be able to process your emotions more because your body feels better, and you'll be able to work through it. But she's like, I'm giving you permission to feel all these feelings. And I literally left the office. I had started crying, but she goes, I'm giving you permission to feel all that you're feeling, and there's no reason why you shouldn't. You're grieving. You're gonna go through all this. And I was like, I know that. But I think as moms too, you just let's carry on. It was my second one. I think I really wanted to be like, let's just get back to normal. Like, what's the new normal? And I don't want to have to deal with this right now. And it was guilt of feeling like I want to get back to the new normal. It was guilt for not, I, it just, it was there. And when she said that, I was like, someone has given me permission to feel this way. And it just took a weight off my shoulders. So I feel like people need to be more vocal about that too. You need to say it's okay and validate whatever you're going through, because if you don't, that person's going to think it's not okay. And it just adds that weight of trying to navigate all these feelings by yourself. And it's like, you need to express it and get it out, whether you talk to yourself walking down the road looking like you're, I said, I said, I did that. I would put my music on my headphones, and I would just walk around. We have a nice little spot around here, and I said, That's sometimes what you just need to do. And then you can talk it out loud. You can just get it out. But you need that validation sometimes. And I don't know why. I guess as humans, sometimes we just need that. You need to know that it's okay. It's odd that we have to sometimes have permission from other people.
Yeah,
Like,
we have
I'm
to
like,
have permission to
yeah.
feel a certain way. Yeah,
Yeah.
well,
Because
to
I
be
said, I'm
bad.
like, I
Yeah.
don't know why I needed you to tell me that I needed to put myself first and start taking care of myself. But and then you also just said all those feelings are normal and validated. And that made me feel like, okay, that is okay to put myself first now to have to deal with those. But I always thought of myself as not needing that approval. And then I was like, what? I
Yeah,
need some of
that's how goes.
the, it's like, why? No, I shouldn't need their approval. But I think it is a vulnerable thing too to say what you're feeling.
Yeah,
And I think the vulnerability has been hard for me, most definitely, because never been somebody that suffered with mental health problems, or I've been. I
Very
was strong-minded person.
strong-minded, opinionated, usually don't care about what people think. Not that I still really do, but still don't. But I've never found myself to be in such a vulnerable position. When I went through the birth trauma with my daughter, I couldn't walk for days, and I couldn't look after myself, and my husband was just like a super person, Superman. He was like Superman, and he was so good that but he was my carer, and like I never ever felt so vulnerable before, where I was everything was completely debilitating and I couldn't do anything for myself. But then that was more from a physical perspective. And then I've struggled further down the line with not dealing with the emotions at the time, and then building and building and building. And then I've been struggling mentally, and then I'm being vulnerable mentally. And that the whole concept of being, having a mental health issue is so foreign that I never thought I'd be in that position. That I'm almost feel embarrassed because it goes against my personality, it goes against my general nature to be put in that position, but that's where I'm at. And I thought, I can't continue pretending that I am the same person that I was before. And hence, me and Nicole said, we need to sit and talk and tell each other basically.
How
You
we're
know,
feeling.
it's yeah, it's normal to feel that way. It's okay to feel that way. And if you're not coping, you shouldn't be embarrassed. And we've literally said those things to each other, and it just helps just to hear it from somebody else. Basically, for somebody else to say, you look, you're not crazy.
Yes, I think that's what it is. And I feel like, I don't know how it is in the UK, but over here, I feel like having anything to do with if you're struggling mentally is such a taboo, because anxiety does run in my family, and I knew that, and I was aware of that, and I had started to have a lot more anxiety after I went through this. And I said, I know some of it is definitely because my body was just like all over the place with hormones and trying to adjust, and I wasn't taking care of myself. But it's also the fact that you have things you're working through. But do you think that I find that maybe it's hard for us to be vulnerable because it's seen as a weakness when it shouldn't be seen as a weakness? It takes so much strength for, I mean, just for the two of you to sit here and tell me when you're recording your story and what happened. I mean, that is not something that is a weakness. And I said, it bothers me so bad when I hear people say, oh, they're crazy, or they're going crazy if they're starting to talk about what's happening. Because in my opinion, I'm like, those are the strongest, bravest people you will ever meet, because they're putting themselves in a spot where you're going to judge them. They feel like you're judging them, but they're willing to put that out there. And That's not a weakness. That's being incredibly strong and brave. And not saying people that don't talk about it are not, they're just not ready, that it's not their time. And everybody has a different timeline. But I just, it made me so mad when people were like, ah, you know, it's seen as a weakness. I'm like, that is not being weak when you're putting your story out there for people to look at you and start judging you. That is not being weak at all.
No.
I remember feeling like that, like when I first went to the doctors after losing my daughter. I didn't want to go to the doctors to accept that I was not able to cope,
That you
and
needed
that I
help.
needed help, because Jodie mentioned my I'm a nurse, 10 years nurse, and you call it ER, we call it A&E. Yeah, I've been a nurse in A&E for 10 years, and my job role was always to help others and to put others first. That's always what I did. So when it come to the point where I needed help, I was like, oh, I didn't know how to do that. Like, I asked for it. Like, what do I do? And luckily, we had a very good GP that I went to, and she was amazing. But the accepting that you need help, or even understanding that you need help, is massive. And I think, like you say, like acknowledging that you need help is the bravest thing that anyone can do, because otherwise, unfortunately, you'll be in a much worse situation. And I remember her saying, like, oh, I think you need to go on some medication. And I'm like, no, like, because that was a weakness. And I'm like, no, like, I'm not weak. Like, I've been through this, and my daughter, I'm still here, I can carry on. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I refused. I was a stubborn cow. And I refused to go on medication at first. And I got home, and I was at a point where I just couldn't stop crying. And I was crying every day, all day. And got home to my partner and was crying. He's like, why did you say no? And I was like, because I felt ashamed to admit defeat, and that I needed help. And a couple of days later, I ended up ringing, like, yeah, all right, you're right, I need medication, and not look back since, because it's helped me move forward in so many other ways that has allowed me, like you say, to feel my emotions and to try and understand what I've been through and to work through the grieving process and to heal, basically. And I don't feel it, and I say to her all the time, because we've been through where Jodie's, like she said, she's been at a very bad place, and I've sat there and I've told Jodie, like, you need to go to the doctors. And she's like, you didn't do that. And I'm like, no, but I'm telling you, I know that I was at that point that Jodie was, and you don't want to accept that you're struggling, or that you're, I
You
think
don't feel
it's,
like it's. I feel like I'm in a position where I am feeling a little bit better than
yeah,
I
you are
was,
definitely better.
but I haven't gone to the doctors. But I always felt that the GP, I'm still in the mindset that I can't see how they will help me. I can see that if I went to a therapist, a therapist might help me. So that's my distinction, is that my GP, like say, might want to medicate me, but I'm not skeptical that the medication will work or not, but I'm just thinking the things that I struggle with, it's more probably a counseling therapy
For the
outlet,
trauma.
that I would need, rather than going down the GP route. But like over in England, it's really difficult to. So we don't have private healthcare over here. We do,
We
but
do.
obviously we have a healthcare system that we pay into, and you get basically free access. But for say if I wanted to go to therapy through the NHS, I can do a self-referral, but it could probably take up to 6 months for me to actually see somebody. So unless I wanted to pay for a private therapist, it's not like an insurance thing. It would just come out of our pocket, at, £150, £200 an hour, whatever it is. That's probably, if I needed immediate help, that'd probably be my
Go to.
first go to. And I'm not saying that we're hard up, but we certainly couldn't afford for
It's
me,
expensive.
to go to a regular therapist. But then you think, well, when I'm really struggling, like at that point, at that particular moment when I'm feeling so low, somebody seeing me in 6 months is not going to help. So it's difficult.
Yeah, it is. What's your mental health services like? in America?
We you can do private, or you can do, insurance will pay depending on if you have a referral, obviously from a doctor. Normally you just pick whoever and you can get in whenever they're available. I mean, I know people that have gotten in within a couple of days, people that have gotten in a couple of weeks. And I think now there's also online. You can go online and have the, like we're doing, you can Zoom with someone, a counselor, which I don't know 100% if insurance pays for that, but around here, there are ways that you can, just because insurance will pay for a certain number of visits. And then, you kind of go from there. But it's hard, I think, too, with because you were talking about medication and then counseling, and it's like, I mean, for me, I went to the doctors because I was like, I just don't feel good. Like, my body doesn't feel good. I don't have energy. I feel tired. I'm not hungry. I knew something was off in my body. And I was thinking, oh, she's going to take my blood and say, like, my hormones are off or this level is off in your blood. But she was like, legitimately, you are just grieving and you need to give yourself that. So for myself, it was after she said that, it took that weight off me, but it allowed me to put myself first. And I've always been a person where if I wasn't able to do physical activity, that is how I work through my emotions. And so I knew that and I wasn't doing that. And so once she gave me permission to literally just like leave the house for a half an hour to go for a walk, I think that took the weight off me. But I had said before, if she had have said, "Can I give you a medication for it?" I would have had the same reaction. Nope, don't need it. I'm just gonna run. I'm gonna eat better. Like, I'm gonna do other stuff, which I think does play a huge part in how you feel and how you deal with things, because your body is all connected. Everything is connected, but it's also knowing and being okay. And I just give you so much credit for saying, "Yeah, I do need that," because it's hard. And even just counseling, for you to admit, I might need to go to counseling, that's hard, because it is asking for help. And for me, I was like, I don't need help. I can work through this. I know what I'm supposed to do. And I don't know if you, I think that was the hardest thing as well, is being like, do I need help? Do I need, and like you said, being called crazy, because that's what people do when they're crazy, they get put on medication. But there's that stigma again. You shouldn't feel like that if you have to ask for help. You shouldn't feel like that if you want to go talk to someone about your feelings, because you're having a really hard time digesting, or maybe you need a little bit of medication to help you because your body is not processing the way it's supposed to. So, I mean, I said, I think I need, personally, I think everybody needs a counselor. I mean, who wouldn't in life, just to sit
Yeah,
and
life's
talk
hard
with
enough.
someone? I'm like, you don't know how to deal with things. Sometimes you need to bounce it off of someone that you feel, can look at things objectively and not be clouded with emotions and different experiences. I mean, I don't know how objective everybody is. You're always a little biased, but I said just to have an outside person. So, I mean, I think mental health in our country has a long way to go, as far as being like, it is not a stigma. It is not something that you can't talk about. And I feel like a lot of women that have had like traumatic birth stories or loss, it is not talked about. And I remember hearing people in my circle, and I know they didn't realize what it sounded like, but they were talking about a mother who had, I think she had two kids and they were 18 months apart, and she was pregnant again. And they were talking about her and they said, you would think by now she would have herself together. And I was like, what? And I don't think that they understood what they were saying, because they all had older kids. Their kids were a little further apart in age. And I was like, you don't, I got a little upset. And I was like, you don't understand what it's like to have young children all close together and then be pregnant while you're chasing those young children. So if she seems a little aggressive, I guess you could say, or a little uptight or a little irritated, and she kind of got snappy with you, it's probably because she's sweating, she's exhausted, and she's hungry, and she's been chasing after her children, and no one is helping her. I'm like, you're all standing here saying she should have it together because she has two kids and da da da. And I'm like, she has nobody to help her. Why don't you go offer her help instead of standing here saying that about her. Go say, hey, I can hold your kid for a minute. And I was like, I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna ask her if she needs help. Do you need a snack? Like, here, because I mean, I feel like that's what it is. If you don't bounce back from, you know, however many months, 6 months, 3 months, a year after having a kid, there's this, well, you should have it together by now. Oh, she's, you know, mentally, I don't know, she's a little crazy. Because, and I'm like, you don't know what they went through when they were going through their birthing process. Like, it could have been horrible. Or mentally, when they came home, they could have had postpartum depression, but nobody addressed it. So now they're trying to work through it. It's just, I don't know. I'm very, like, I get very irritated when I hear people say that. I'm like,
It sort of touches on like we've got a friend, it's slightly different to what you're referring to, but we've got a friend that struggled with fertility and was going down the route of IVF, and then she sort of says that the hormones that they were giving her for the IVF basically allowed her to get pregnant. So she got pregnant before, she
Naturally.
got pregnant naturally. She says naturally in terms of she doesn't think it would happen unless she
Complement
was on
hormones.
these hormones.
Right.
They didn't have like an implantation or anything. She got pregnant naturally, but she sort of credits the IVF drugs that she was going to have before that implantation. So she got pregnant, and we've said to her, you know, look, like we know that you're grateful for your baby. We know that. We know that you love him to pieces, and you know it's wonderful, sunshine and rainbows. But we also know that it's extremely difficult. And just because you have got what you wanted, essentially, doesn't mean that you can't tell us how hard it is. You know, like it's like
She
had
puts so much pressure on herself.
self, yeah, and she like, I have to be perfect, you know, I can't complain because this is what I want.
Fully wanted him,
Yeah, so it sort of plays into what you were saying about, you know, you might see a woman that's got three children, and you know, someone who hasn't got any children or can't get pregnant might look at her and go, look, she's got everything. What's she got to complain about? But having three children and going through three pregnancies and three births, and you know, you don't know whether she's hiding behind a loss or trauma, it's hard. And I think anybody that's had a child should never judge another mum because you should understand what they are going through. Even if everything is fine, you have a great experience and you raise your family with no issues, it's still so hard.
Yes. I think that people don't admit that though. They, you know, everything's fine, and they said it doesn't mean that you can't ever complain about things. I always say, feel that for a half an hour, an hour, whatever you need to take to just feel like frustrated, angry, you know, feel that, but also try to move forward. It isn't that you stay stuck in that, because that there's like a balance. It's like you need to admit that it's hard, and you need to have that emotion, and you need to be able to feel that and let yourself an hour, like I said, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever. But then I try to teach my kids, I'm like, it's okay to have that feeling. Let yourself have it. But okay, let's acknowledge it and then let's move through it. How do we work through it so that it doesn't steal your joy from the next day or the next whatever, 2 hours, 3 hours? But you have to admit that some things are hard. And it doesn't mean that everything is roses all the time, especially for moms. I feel like it is. There's almost like the opposite ends. I don't know if you guys feel like that, but if you complain, you're a horrible person. But if you're like sunshine and roses, you're also a horrible person because you're painting it as this glorious experience. But then it's like, okay, so wait, I'm okay to complain, but then over here, I'm not okay to complain because it means I'm ungrateful. So like, I don't know what to do. That's what I said. I'm like, you have to feel it. You have to complain about it. That's fine. Have that. And it's okay because that you're having a legitimate emotion. And some days suck. I mean, there are days when I've gone to bed and I'm like, this was a horrible day. Like, this was a horrible day. Please God, let tomorrow be better because this was a horrible day. I cannot continue to have days like this. Like, it's not going to be good. But It's okay to say that. It doesn't mean you don't love your kids. It doesn't mean you don't love being a mother. It's like, they're being little poop heads today, and you're a human. Like, you can only take so much. And I feel like as moms, sometimes if you're home with your kids too, when they're little, you don't get that break to step away and be like, okay, I'm annoyed with you. I'm gonna just take a break because I need a little space. Like, but it's,
There's so much pressure on on mums or parents in general, like to, and they're so precious, and they are so precious, and to enjoy every moment. And like, I always,
Time goes by so fast.
yeah,
I'm like,
pick it up. I'm like, oh no, get me out of this terrible stage.
yeah. But I think you can't win. Like,
No.
No.
I've been a worker. Like, my career was really important to me, and I knew. I thought when I was pregnant or before I got pregnant that when I would have children, I would work them into my life and my still important to me and all of this. And like your priorities do massively change. But people have said, like even like close family have gone, well, why are you going back to work? And I'm like, well, my job's important to me. So like that's a part of my identity. And then I've gone back to work and then I've been struggling. So they've used that against me. Like, well, we took, like, maybe you
You
shouldn't have gone back to
can't
work. You
win.
shouldn't have gone back to work that quickly. And, and I've had people say, oh, I don't understand people who go back to work and have somebody else raise your children. I'm thinking, so if I stayed at home, I'd be looked at like, I'm dependent on my husband, and I've got no financial security myself, and I'm not deemed as like ambitious or a worker or whatever if I stay at home. And then on the flip side, if I go to work, I'm selfish
Terrible
because
mother.
yeah, because somebody else is raising my child, and and I'm adding additional stress onto my family me going to work. And I'm
You
thinking,
can't
you
win.
can't
You
win.
can.
So I've just been like, oh, you think what you want to
Yeah,
think.
you've got to do whatever pleases you and works best for you and your family and stuff.
You do get better at that, I think, as you go through motherhood. I mean, I with age have I said, I think I'm just too old and tired right now to care sometimes because like the older you get, you're just like, this is not even worth it. And I have struggled with that when I was same going back to work because when I had my first child, I had worked full time up until the day before she was born. And then I went back. I kept putting it off because I had, just for me personally, I had always known I wanted to stay home with my kids. And then I wasn't quite sure how that was going to look, but I knew that I wanted to. So then I think I went back right before she was 6 months because I had almost 3 months of time that I could take because I had saved it all for when she was little, and then I took almost a month just unpaid. We were like, okay, we're just gonna bite our teeth and just suck it up that we won't have the second income coming in from that month, which I was okay with. But when I went back 2 days a week, and my mom was watching my daughter, and I cried the whole way to work. And then I got there, and it was an office of, all moms, so they totally understood. They were very supportive, but it was also after I had started working. I was like, okay, this is great. 2 days a week, I go, and then I get my time out. And then I got pregnant with my son, and it was a lot harder. And then it's 45-minute drive to there and a 45-minute drive back. So it was just, I said, I can't do this with two kids, and it was a whole cost. Like over here, the daycare, if I put them in daycare, my whole paycheck's going to that with two kids. And do I really want to leave them because they're going to get sick all the time and I have to take time off from work just to be with them because they're sick? And then, so it was a lot of, but I just remember that feeling of when I decided to stay home with them full time. People would ask me, what do you do? And I said, I stay home with my kids. I'm a full-time mom. I stay home. And they would go, and they have nothing to talk to me about. And I was like, I'm still a human being. I still have things to talk about, but it was very much so. Then I was like, am I okay? And I was younger then, so it did affect me a lot more. I think that they would say, well, what do you do all day? I'm like, I have a 2-year-old and I have a 6-month-old. What do you think I do all day? I'm clearly not sitting on the couch all day. But I think it is hard though, because you feel like that torn. And then I mean, for me, my identity was also in my work, and I was like, I have to understand that my worth is not in my work. It is not in the fact that I'm just a mom. It is who I am and me as a person, and obviously who God made me. And I just was like, it took me a long time to be okay with that. 'Cause even now, I've been a stay-at-home mom for my oldest is 8. So my full-time, I started after my son was born. So 6 years full-time. And people will still ask me, you know, what do you do? And now I'm like, oh, I'm a podcaster. And so they'll be like, oh, okay. But I always say I'm a full-time mom at home, and they have nothing to say. They like don't say anything. And I said, you know, that I've started to try to say I'm a domestic engineer, because if you look up that de definition, that is what it is. Just saying, I heard that one time because they said, look up the definition of a domestic engineer. And that is the definition of a mother, whether you work outside the home or you work in the home, that is the exact definition of them. So I'm like, and they said, if you start saying that, people won't question you. They'll be like, oh, what is that like? What do you do? Well, it's a lot of hard work. Like, but
I
I
think
think.
after I became a mom and I went on maternity leave, I had a newfound appreciation for stay-at-home mums, full-time mums, you know, that didn't go
Hard
out to
work.
work, because I was like, that is harder than going to work, which I never
You
thought that would
don't
be
get a
the case.
break. Never get a
No.
break.
And like I found my maternity leave really, really hard. Like I think we're quite lucky in the UK in comparison
Yeah,
to
by
the
the sounds of
States
maternity. Yeah, it's
to maternity.
crazy when.
So we have like a statutory re maternity leave, and it all depends on your workplace. But if you're in full-time employment, you'll get statutory maternity pay for 9 months, but
Oh my goodness.
it doesn't, it sounds better than
Sounds,
it
yeah.
is, but it goes in scale. So it's usually like 6 weeks at like 90% pay, and then I think it's like then 20, is it 39 weeks of
Half
like
pay.
no, that's your employment.
Oh, I
So
can't
it's
remember.
something like £150 a week, which should probably be what, like $250 or something like that. So it's not brilliant, especially if you compare it to your usual salary. But my workplace offered an additional payment on top of statutory. So I ended up after the 9 months, though, you get no pay. So a lot of people take 12 months maternity over in the UK because they have those 3 months unpaid. But I took my daughter was born mid-February, and I went back to actually a new job. To a different place on the like 2nd of Jan the next year, so like 10 and a half months. So I had like 11 months maternity, and I remember just struggling through the whole of my maternity. But I never know whether I struggled because of what we went through and how I was mentally, or the fact that it was just hard work.
I mean, it's hard work, but
It's
if you
hard work.
also, it's hard work, but you
Yeah.
also have to realize too, like, I think looking back, we understand, like, you look back on it and you're like, okay, I know why it was so hard. Because, like you're saying, you don't know if you just didn't have that support when you came from your birth experience. And that I've talked to a lot of moms, and same, I was the only stay-at-home mom when I decided to do it. I didn't have anybody, I didn't have a community, and so it was very lonely. And I remember being like, okay, you know, I would go to my mom's a lot because my mom lives across town. And so and I was happy to do that. And in the summer, you get outside, you can go do things. But I said, it is very lonely if you don't have a community, you don't have other people to say, you know, hey, let's go for a walk together, let's just go here together, just to be, you know, out of the house. And just you, I now looking back, I said, I can understand why a lot of moms now are like, I don't want to do it. Because if that was your experience for the first 9 months of not having anybody help you or give you a break or give you a second or even just being able to go for a walk with a friend with your kids in the stroller, it's so hard because you don't have that community. And I said, that's something that I think it again needs to change in motherhood, because you need to be able to have people that can come in and support you. And also, It'd be nice if there was, I mean, up here it's very rural, so there's not a lot of that stuff. But I said, even just a place that you could go as a mom with little kids, they'd call them, what are they called? Baby and me classes or mommy and me places. We don't have any of that around here. It's like, you don't have any, at least where I am. But I said, it's, you don't have that community. So, I mean, you can't beat yourself up over saying, I had a hard time with it because you had a trauma and then you were, basically working through this, and then being home is like trying to work through it. And then you have this little person, like, they need to eat, they need to sleep, they're crying, and you're just like, oh my God, and you're tired. I said, I don't, being tired is probably the worst thing because you can't work through stuff when you're tired. I don't know, at least for me, I'm speaking for myself. I'm like,
When you're
get
mad.
away from me.
Yeah, I think
You're
everything
being
seems so
too
much
loud.
harder when you're
Yeah.
tired. Everything's
Yes.
worse. Everything's worse. Everything's bigger than it actually is. You find it harder to cope when you're tired. Yeah. Yeah, that's why just being a parent, it's not just mums, it's just being a parent is
Yeah, it's
really
hard.
difficult. And again, I have a newfound appreciation for full-time mums. I have a newfound appreciation for single parents.
Yes, yes.
You never even think about it. Before you had children, people who are raising children alone, I'm like, I don't know how they do it. They never
That's
do.
what I said.
Like, I don't know how they do it. Like the fact that my husband picks up a lot of the slack with my daughter, I know how grateful I should feel for that, because there's people out there that are raising children alone. And and I think about how lucky I am that, I play sport several times a week.
Yay.
Yeah. And that's been one of my that's been one of my outlets. Like, it's a community of people that I basically sort of found just before I got pregnant. So they've become very friendly, but it's quite far removed from my day-to-day life. So, they don't really know a lot of my situation. I can just go and I can be a completely different person and forget about it and everything. But I just think that if I didn't have my husband, I wouldn't be able to do that, because who's going to look after my daughter? So I think about those single parent families, that how do they socialize outside of maybe nursery hours or daycare hours? If they, but if they're the sole caregiver, how does that
How
work?
does it
Like,
work?
how do they have a life? I have a newfound appreciation for anyone raising a child or children alone, because they're just super people.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, and then again, the guilt comes in when you're complaining and you're like,
Yeah, exactly.
okay, I can't, I'm thankful for what I have and I shouldn't be complaining, but you're not negating the fact that it's hard. Everyone has a situation. Just being a parent, like you said, is hard because there's so many decisions placed on you to keep somebody alive and to raise them the best you can. I think that was the hardest thing about becoming a parent, is that it was like, I have to make all these decisions and I can't even make a decision for myself. Like, I get, it was very overwhelming, I think, at first. And then now I have three kids and you're making decisions for all three of them. And if they have health issues, then you're trying to make the best decision in that way when you feel inadequate in those situations. And it's just, it is. And again, it's okay to say it's hard. You have to acknowledge that, because it isn't all rose-colored glasses. It's, but also giving yourself credit that you're doing it and you're doing it the best you can is really, and encouraging your friends, like, you're doing the best you can. If you're loving your kid and you're doing what's best for them in your eyes, and you're teaching them to be a kind, like, amazing person, you're doing a good job.
I always say, we the friend that we referred to before about, who went through IVF and got pregnant and she's got a baby, and she feels like she's forever having to be grateful even if she's finding it tough. And she said to us the other day, and I think we both fell off our chair, that her son is 16. No, he was born in September, so he's like just over a year old, year and a half coming up for. He's never watched the TV. And I
Oh
was
my,
like,
wow.
We were like,
Really? Wow.
oh
Okay.
my God,
Impressive.
like I was pointing like my 3-week-old at the TV, like, please shut up. And I was like, and I had like this overwhelming mum because I was
Yes.
like, I put my daughter in front of the TV. I'm now,
Yeah, I'm a horrible
I
mom.
know, I'm like, now I'm one of those mums
Like,
that
yeah. Need 5 minutes.
like,
Yes.
I just need you to be quiet
Yes.
just for a minute. And I put her in front of the TV because she's asking Elsa at the moment. It's all frozen stuff. So Elsa, Elsa, Elsa. I was like, yeah, you watch Elsa for half an hour. Gives me,
I'm gonna
yeah. But then I feel, oh my God, like I shouldn't be putting her in front of the TV. And then literally, like, I completely contradict myself and go, no, if this is what it takes you to get through the day,
Yes,
you to watch half an hour of Elsa.
yes. It's
Then I'm gonna do
fine.
it.
Yes, it's fine. And I think that's the thing is like for us, the same thing. I mean, my daughter didn't. She watched a little bit, my oldest, and I think it's funny how they describe like with your oldest, it's this way, it's all organic foods, like you don't have the bottle, da 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 da. And I said she was very much like that, and then she watched a little bit, but then I got pregnant and she was two, and I remember just being so tired, and she would not stop. So we would sit on the couch and I'd let her watch like an hour of TV after lunch because I was just so tired. She didn't nap. She wouldn't do naps really. And so I remember being like, oh my gosh, I need you to like sit and I need to be able to just close my eyes. And then with my son, same thing when I was pregnant with my third because he was two and my oldest was four. And I just remember being like, they can watch an hour to 2 hours because I'm so tired. I can't chase you anymore. I just need you to sit and you just to stay in one spot so that I can just like either pee, shower, or eat by myself. Like it's just, I think there's just a lot of that though, because you're like, okay, they're doing it this way. But then I don't know. I'm just, as I get older, like I said, and the more I have three. So like by my third one, I was like, no, it's okay. We're fine.
You're fine. Yeah.
It's fine. It doesn't harm them. You know, it's not like they're sitting in front of the TV for like 5 hours at a time. Like they go outside, they play, you know, it's fine, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, it's hard because you compare. But after three, I was just like, we're doing it this way. Like,
The last one's just feral.
they are. I'm not. She, they, I have stories of that one. I'm like, I don't know. She's going to be the wild one. She is going to be like, and she's trying to keep up with the big kids. So, like, she'll be running full speed down the driveway. And just, I'm like, oh my gosh.
You
She
got
wants to
two
keep
girls,
up.
one boy.
I have two girls and one boy. So my oldest is a girl, my youngest is a girl, and my son is the middle one. And so he is a very good big brother and he's a very good little brother as far as he tries to look out for the girls. But he is also a little mischievous. So my youngest and him together, I'm always like, where are they? Where'd they go? What are
What's
they
they
doing?
doing?
Yeah, what are they doing right now? Who knows where they are? And my oldest is like, they're over here doing this. So she's very much like a mother hen. But it's very much you just, I don't know, you figure out what works for you though, too. You can't, you know, what works for, like, we can't do hours of TV because my kids, like, their attitudes get horrible. They start getting sassy. They don't listen very well. So we try to do a little less. Where other families, I know their kids can sit and watch like 2 or 3 hours and they're fine. And I'm like, can I have those kids so I can get something done? Like sometimes, but it's just, it all depends on your kids too. You know, they're different. And I think you have to give yourself grace with trying to figure out what works with them and what doesn't work with them because they're not the same as your friend's kids that, like I said, it's, you know, and you have to be okay with that sometimes.
And I think I'm actually quite relaxed as a parent. Like, I'm very much like, if she falls off something, she'll only fall off it once. She'll learn the lesson.
We've started to be like that with three now. I'm like, they're fine. There's no blood.
Well,
It's
I'm quite relaxed, even though she's my first. Like, I'm very much like, if
That's good, though.
that's hot, then she won't touch it again because she'll know it's hot, but I've always been like quite relaxed in terms of, they're like, oh, they should be potty trained by a certain age. And
Yeah, no.
she's not going to be 16 and not know how to use the toilet.
Or, she's not going to be 18 years old and not know how to use a knife and fork. She's not going to be chucking stuff on the floor as a 15-year-old girl. It's just not going to happen. So they will get there.
I think comparison is the hardest part because you like, especially with your first, because you're looking at everybody else and you're like, this person's kid was reading by this time, and then this person's kid was walking by this time. And I'm like, after having three, they were all so different. And I said, I even was comparing them to each other. And after I had my son, and I said, I can't do it. First of all, he's a boy. Second of all, it's just, I'm a different parent because now I have two. But I remember being like so nervous. And then after I had my second, I was like, they're all different. You can't compare them. And like you said, really, it doesn't matter. As long as there's no medical issue that's causing them to be delayed, then everybody's at their own pace.
Yeah,
Definitely.
definitely. So, oh, you got any? I was just going to say, tell us about your podcast. Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. I was going to say, because you've obviously found some outlets like you writing, casting after your losses to know, to open up and discuss your feelings. Tell us a little bit about those things and, your post-loss coping.
So after my second one and figuring out that I had to put myself first and being kind of told that,
Hold that, yeah.
I've been like, yeah, you got to put yourself first. More of knowing that I need this to feel good and to be a better mom and to show up as a better mom is definitely to, I try to work out every day at least 15 minutes because I know just me personally, I need that movement. I need that to deal with things. I need to sweat. I need to feel like my body has worked to be able to process that. And now that I understand that, I try to do that at least every day and then try to just get outside with the kids a lot. That's helped me mentally as far as like just being at home with the kids as a mom. So if there's anybody that is at home, it's just try to go outside because even if you go sit on the step outside, there's just something about being outside that just, I don't know, for us, it's just relaxing. It just gives you that breath of fresh air and it just helps you to like reset and refocus. But finding stuff that was not related to being a mother was something that was a little foreign to me because I was like, I'm a mom. Like everything is related to being a mom now, But it was writing has been something that I've been thinking about, like, could I write a book? Not necessarily about my story, but would I like to actually write like a fiction book about, who would I write about? It just has kind of opened that up for me and never thought that would. And podcasting has been a blast because I met people like you who I never would have connected with. I was just like, this is so amazing that something you never thought you were going to do, you're doing, and you're meeting these awesome people. So it's a podcast, it's a motherhood podcast. Yes, I'm not really getting away from being a mom, but it is a motherhood podcast, but it's just other moms sharing their journey, kind of like what you guys are doing, but just sharing, the ups and downs, what works for them as far as, if they've gone through something in life and how they've recovered from it. It's just being able to inspire and encourage other moms that you're not alone. You can work through this. We're here to support you and just to hear other moms' journeys as well. And I do have guests on that are experts in their area, like marriage, there, I had a life coach on, I had a health coach on just to help moms after you've had kids. My hope is that I will be able to bring other experts in as well to chat about, some postpartum stuff mentally. That is the goal for this year because I feel like if you're able to talk, it for me, I've always loved getting to know people. I've always loved connecting with them. And that was a huge part of my job as a physical therapist assistant was, you're helping them to feel better and get better because you're working on their body. But it was also connecting with them to know who they were. Why do you want to not have pain in your hip when you're walking? Because they love being outside. They love being able to go do all this stuff. So it was connecting with them, and you'd spend time in the treatment room, 30 minutes just talking to them. And I said, I miss that. I miss being able to talk to people like that and just be able to connect with them and relate to them, but also learn about their stories, where they're from, who they are. Why do you think what you think? Which I think is huge now. I'm like, why do you think that? What, what happened? Why do you do this or why do you do that? So podcasting has just been the outlet of connecting with other moms that I never would have been able to talk to really in my circle of rural Vermont. I never would have met them. They're all the way in California and all these different
The
states, the UK. I'm
UK.
like, it's amazing to me. And I said, I can tell I miss that because that's a part of me that I was before I had kids, and I didn't have that even up until, the last couple of years. I didn't even have that. So it was very much that has helped me to really find something that I like to do that doesn't involve taking the kids somewhere or being involved with them. Yes, we talk about kids and we talk about it, but it's something that I can do that is an outlet for me that I don't have to leave the house as well. I can close the door and that way I can talk to people. But it's something that has just been a huge joy because I was like, man, I didn't realize that I needed this. I didn't realize that I needed this connection with other people who are kind of outside your circle too. It just gives you that more. It opens your eyes because now I'm like, okay, well, you do this different, but why do you do that differently? And that's helped you. So maybe it will help me when I'm in this situation. And it's just been a huge, it's been a huge blessing to be able to be like, okay, this is helping me heal, but it's also helping me to know I'm not alone and to find other people that also have been in these situations. Or, I mean, sharing some of the stories, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know how you're smiling right now. Like, how are you still smiling? And you have such an outlook on life that is, I would have struggled. And they will share their experience of how they got to that, which, helps you in your life, obviously. But yeah, so that's kind of what I found as an outlet. Never thought it would do it. I was encouraged after my first miscarriage. I was talking with, she was a coach, like a life coach, and we were just chatting about motherhood. And she goes, "I feel like you should have a podcast, and you should just share these stories because you're very honest. Because you're very honest about like how it's hard. You're very honest about, I was telling her about something that happened with my daughter. It was on a daily thing, and she was just laughing because she goes, "It's not funny to you right now, but she goes, if someone was listening, they would be laughing and saying, oh, I can totally relate." Because she was a mom, but her kids were older. And she was like, I remember that exact same thing. And I said, okay. And she said, she's like, you should just do it. And I said, I know nothing about podcasting. I know absolutely nothing. She goes, just go on and hit record. So that's what I did. It was messy. It was imperfect, but it was one of the most fun things I had done in I don't know how long. I was like, wow. Okay, this is a whole new area of just it's fun, and I it has nothing to do with my kids, so
We say that. We say we enjoy it. Yeah. Even though we're talking to,
right.
people
Mothers.
that,
Yeah.
that about really
R
upsetting
really
things, tragic
right.
things, like we actually take enjoyment from it and comfort. And we said, even if it just helps us and nobody else, that's great because, we enjoy it and it helps us in our journey. But even if it can help one person, somebody finds comfort in it or they can relate or it validates somebody else's feelings, which we've needed from each other. That is what,
That's what
that's
it's
why we did
about.
it. That's why we did it. That's why we started.
Same. You don't want people to feel alone. And I said, I felt just in that moment and in that time, even just in motherhood, even before I had the miscarriages, I just remember, the first 2, 3 years of my daughter's life, I was like, I'm so alone. I don't have close friends that live close by, as far as like they all lived in a couple of towns over, or they lived in a different state that was an hour or two to get to us. So setting up play dates and everything took a huge amount of effort. And I just remember being like, I feel like I am the only one that feels like this. And I know they always say it gets better, but I'm not talking to anybody that is in this moment with three little kids and they're all screaming right now. And I can't go anywhere. I have to take care of them. So it that's what it is. You just find that connection to know you're not alone. You're not alone in this. And that is, we're not built to do things alone. I don't feel like you're supposed to have community and have that support, because mentally you need that, and physically you just need sometimes someone to be there to, hold your hand or give you a hug and just to help you through it.
I think the one of the reasons why I suggested a podcast is when I went back to work, I actually started a new job and the commute was quite long in comparison to my previous job. And I remember going, oh, I'll
Fed up with the radio.
yeah, fed up with the radio, fed up with my iPod. I'll give podcasting, as in listening to a podcast, try. And I was so late to the party, like podcasts. They're still trending, but a lot of people have podcasts now and it's not a new thing. And but this was probably like I would say less than a year ago. Well, you've probably heard of it because it's a worldwide podcast, but Parenting Hell with Rob Bell, Josh Widdicombe, obviously two British comedians. I remember just saying, oh, I'll give it a go. Parenting, I've just become a new parent. And this was before we started our podcast. Yeah. And I remember sitting there and thinking, oh my God, I can relate to that. Oh my God, that's so funny. My baby does that. And oh, I'm going through that. And it every episode there was either something funny or relatable. And I'm thinking, but I'm in this position now as well where I've got a story to tell. Yeah, it's not comedy at all, but it struggles with parenting and becoming a parent. And that's what opened my eyes to it. And I thought, ah, no, I could do this, and I wanted to do it with Nicole, and that was the whole process of, finding something that's an outlet, but also that's relatable and people can connect with, and from a comedic parenting podcast, from listening to it on my commute, we ended up, starting our own, and it's been such a great outlet for us, isn't it? We get together, no matter what, once every few weeks and to record, and it's something that we do together and nobody else is involved. And we've got a small circle of friends, but it's just something that we do
Just us.
together.
Yes.
And even if we don't have an interview, we sit here and we record just half an hour of catch up and what's new in our lives. And it's our own therapy, really.
Yes. I think
Friends
there's
therapy.
comfort in that because you feel like you're a friend, even though you've never actually met that person. It's like they're your friend. And you can, if you tune in that week and they're talking about something that you went through, it's like you're talking with a friend or you're listening. Maybe you don't have that friend who's in that situation or is in that same spot in life as you. And you can just be like, okay, I'm not the only one. It helps you to feel like that. I think that's been the biggest thing. Then too, for you two to share with me, I'm like, man, like other people understand and you get it. You just get it. And you don't have to really explain it. You just say, a couple of words and you understand exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, we say all the time, you're not alone. Anyone listening, you're not alone. You probably feel like you're the only person in the world that's ever gone through this or ever felt those feelings. And actually, unfortunately, there is other people out there that have gone through the same or similar things, and they will understand. And it's like your therapy, your SANS group, that it's actually horrible to think that all of those women and all of those people have had to go through something to bring you together. But the fact that you have gone through those things, but you can be there to support each other is amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I said the community that you have, you're part of a club that you never wanted to be a part of, but it's you need that community to be able to work through it.
Shall we say it's the worst but best group to be in?
Yes, it's true.
Definitely.
I have just recently found out another friend had a miscarriage, and I said, I know exactly what to do. So I had texted her and I just said, I completely understand and I'll come and sit with you if you need me to come and sit with you because I understand and it's okay. Whatever you're feeling, it's okay. So it is, you need that community to be able to feel like you're validated and you're not alone and life will get better. It's going to look different. It will look different. Don't try to make it look the same as it was before because it won't. And you're never going to be the same as you were before that happened. That was a big thing is don't try to get back to normal because you're not. Even just as a mom, you will never be who you were before you had kids. You have been through so much more. You are so much wiser. You've been through so much more just that you've had to deal with, you're never going to be the same as that. For me, I was like, for that, 26-year-old that didn't have any kids, I'm not getting back to her. It's now a different version of me. And you do find out some things in your life that you are like, I don't have the patience, I don't have the time for that anymore. It's you learn about what you can handle and what is really important to you. So don't try to get back to the new normal or to the old normal. Just be okay with becoming that new person that you've been through a lot and give yourself credit for it too.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. So, for the listeners, why don't you tell the listeners the name of your podcast and where they can listen to it?
Sure, you can find it. It's Dear Mama Unscripted. You can find it on Apple, you can find it on Spotify. My host is Podbean. And it's very new, so there's about 13 episodes. I'm getting ready to release a few more. I'm doing a homeschool series where I interviewed a bunch of homeschool moms. If people are interested, and I was having a lot of questions about that, so I'm just gonna do like a mini podcast series.
Yeah.
So I interviewed moms all across the country, just sharing what they do, and it's completely different. It's so fun. I'm like, everybody is so different. So it has just been amazing to connect with moms with that. And like I said, I hope to bring many more episodes just with encouraging moms and inspiring them and just sharing other mothers' journeys with just, you're not alone and you're doing the best you can. And you need to give yourself credit for just what you're doing right now. Because some days it's literally just feeding them and keeping them alive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then when they're
And
in
you're like,
bed, you breathe a sigh of relief.
yes, you're like, everybody is alive right now, and the house didn't burn down, and we're like, that's just honestly what I think sometimes. It's like, okay, that we are in bed and we are all okay, and that was a win for today. Tomorrow will be better. Hopefully, tomorrow will be better. So,
Well, I think we just want to thank you for spending the time with us today and sharing your story. And just talking to you has made me feel more positive.
Oh, definitely.
Oh,
I've
good.
got
Thank
this
you for having me.
positive energy
Energy and vibe about you, and it's great.
Thank you.
And so
I.
all the listeners need to check out your podcast, Dear
Yeah.
Mama Unscripted.
I'm gonna need to get this book as well.
Yeah, most definitely.
I will tell you when it comes out. They're re releasing its I this is really bad. I can't remember the title. It's She Rises, She Leads. It's just about literally women rising from their hard times and what they've been through, and just she rises, she leads, she triumphs. I'm really upset that I don't remember the title. Like, I wrote it like a while ago, and they're just starting to send me stuff where you can promote it. But I'll send you some info on it. You can
Yeah,
check it out. But it's
would be good.
I'm so excited that I was able to talk to you and connect with you. I feel like you should come on my podcast and you should chat, because
Definitely.
you have such a unique story. I think would be amazing for others to hear it.
Yeah, no,
That'd be
that'd be
good.
amazing. Well, thank
Yeah.
you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited.
We're gonna log off and probably go to bed now, but you're
Yes,
far behind, so
the rest of the
you
day.
enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we've really loved speaking with you, Erin. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Oops.